The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, here we are back Wednesday, and it keeps you entertained. What's going on? It's pretty crazy. The more digging we do, and I'm not speaking for my guest, I'm speaking for myself. The more digging we do, and I work a lot with Kelly on digging. The more we find out that most all of these appointments are absolute Zionists, at least in spirit. They're utterly dedicated to Israel. This is going to be really Zog, the Zionist occupied government. It's going to be, I think, without question, 1,000% behind Israel and the genocide that's going on. Sad to say, Secretary of Defense nominee Pete Hegseth says, quote, Zionism and Americanism, notice which one he put first, are at the front lines of Western civilization. Zionism at the front lines of American and certainly Western civilization. He named both of them, but he put Zionism first. He spoke at the 2018 Arutz Shiva conference in Jerusalem, where he stated, quote, there is no reason why the miracle of the reestablishment of the temple on the Mount is not possible, end quote. Speaking at the National Council of Young Israel, described as a gala in New York City the same year, he said, quote, Zionism and Americanism, again, are the front lines of Western civilization and freedom in our world today. Don't forget these things. There's a lot more. Kelly will be with us tonight in hour two. She's got a lot on Matt Gaetz, Mike Waltz. Where do you find out about Mike Waltz's wife? I've got a lot coming on that on the site here in an hour as well. These are very disappointing, to put it mildly, from my perspective. But let's get to our program now and welcome back William Gein, who has his own opinions on things, I'm sure. But a Zionist-occupied government, a Zog, is not what any of us want, period. And we should quickly mention that the Senate today voted to install the new leader to replace Mitch McConnell. And they picked Thune, who beat out Rick Scott. So what does that tell you? I hope you've been following things. Rhinos rule the Senate. These are rhinos. Half of them might as well be Democrat communists. All right, enough of that. I put a period at the end of that intro, and welcome back William Gein. Hello, William. How are you?
I'm psyched, man. I'm in a completely different headspace than you, Jeff. And thank God for John Thune, man. John Thune is an endorsed Alley Pack candidate. We back him, okay? And they were talking about putting globalist rhino John Cornyn in the seat.
Cornyn was not a factor. No, not in my view.
Cornyn was the favorite, who they said was going to put in it. And instead of an illegal alien amnesty-supporting known rhino globalist into the Senate leadership, we got John Thune, who Alipac endorsed in 2022 because President Obama and Senator Reid's push for a vote on the DREAM Act today is tipping the scale of voter support in favor of candidates opposed to illegal immigration. Alipac's now endorsing Senate campaigns of Bozeman, Engel, Miller. This is back in, this is actually back in 2010.
I remember Thune. I remember this a little bit. Yeah.
So Thune did the right thing on immigration, and now he's the head honcho, and Mitch McConnell, amnesty supporter, out of the way. Thune, not amnesty supporter, beats out Cornyn. That's great news. We just had a historic tectonic shift in this country. The fact that the Republican candidate for candidate, it hasn't, you know, been fully decided yet whether Trump got the popular vote or not, but the fact that the Republican candidate is anywhere close is absolutely historic. If you remove Bush's 2004 win after 9/11 highs, the last Republican to do that was Bush 1 back in all the way in 88. And the data shows us that in California swung red. Inside New York City,
40% of California went for Trump.
One out of every three people of color, and this is blowing some of these liberals' minds, one out of every three people of color voted with us for Trump.
Yeah,
that's not the full story.
That is big.
That's tectonic shift. That is a complete, potentially, new paradigm. Remember how historians said that from 19, whenever FDR got elected, until at least the 1990s, we were, you know, the Democratic Party was the FDR coalition? That's the scale that we're looking at right now.
Right. Okay. I just judge people on the basis of their support for Israel, genocide, taking God knows how much of our money forever. It's got to stop. This is an American country, not an Israeli country. This is not Tel Aviv West in Washington. That's how I look at it. But that's fine.
Well, I judge people on who I think have the best chance of saving this country and turning things around through the full enforcement of our immigration laws. And whether it's going to happen or not,
let's see.
Determined.
Hold on. Do you think Trump will actually mount a serious effort to deport millions of people?
I think that, first of all, that it's an accurate statement to say that we are the first Americans to ever be sitting in this position where our presidential and vice presidential Republican candidates just won.
Right.
Based off a promise of mass deportations. They said they were going to deport over 20 million illegals, starting with the real bad ones, and it blew liberal minds, but reinforced and validated. And what's the other word? Alipac has been telling people for years the support for strong immigration enforcement and borders is super high amongst Republicans, blacks, Hispanics, everybody.
Yeah.
And you saw it happen. You saw it happen right there. And now we're going to have Republicans in charge of all three chambers. Yes, the rhinos are going to try to stop us. Yes, the globalists are going to try to stop us. Yes, the Democrats are going to try to stop us. But we just pulled the switch on the one-armed bandit, and it came up bar, bar, bar. Ting, ting, ting. No, there's not even a conflicted government. It's not like the Democrats have the House and the Republicans have the White House.
No, this is an unprecedented realignment of what they call America's government. I agree. However, I like to look at the people and look behind the curtain. We'll see in time. You know, William, that's all it is, time. We have to watch.
We can mince all that out after we succeed in getting 20 million illegals out of this country.
If he threw 1 million out, I'd be stunned.
Well, that's where we start. Right now, the shot is lined up. Right now, there's actually, for the first time in the 20 years that I've been doing this, there's actually a path, a visible path with a light at the end of the tunnel that we could possibly make it to.
Possibly make it to. I agree, and I hope it does as much as you or anybody else out there. If we don't have a border, we don't have a nation state. It's that simple.
And I like Elon Musk and what he's been doing, and I support it, and I'm very, very enthusiastic. It's beyond refreshing. Just before, I just checked in on him right before the show, because I figured we might mount a public pressure campaign to get him to focus on putting the NGOs and porting the illegals on the chopping block first. But we don't need to do that. Our boy Elon's already on it. He is already
He is very unique in modern political history in this country. I concur. I watch very carefully.
And never before has there been an agency called Doge, named after his cryptocurrency.
Dogecoin. I know.
Department of Government Efficiency. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy have been appointed to head this up. Also, I don't know if I heard this correctly, but I think Trump said that the department was going to end at the end of 2026. It's not going to be a new permanent agency.
Well, creating a bureaucracy goes against draining the swamp, but let's see if it works. I hope it does.
It's a temporary governmental construct for the purpose of streamlining and making government and making it more efficient and less costly. And Elon Musk says he's going to put up a website, that they're going to be completely transparent about everything they cut and everything that they change so that people can see that. And people
they're going
are
to have
be able
to get approval for a lot of the things they plan to do. I don't know where that approval will come from, Trump or the Congress or what. These are apparently big things they're planning. We'll see.
Well, I'll tell everybody out there listening right now to the podcast later that if you don't stay energized and stay on top of this and see this through, okay, you're ridiculous. Because here's your opportunity. A bunch of people whining and mewling and complaining about stuff, and boom, here's this opportunity. And it's not going to manifest if the people who got involved in the elections and made this happen, because this didn't happen in a vacuum.
Right.
If they don't stay engaged, if they don't see it through, if they sit back down and think they voted in an election and that's all they need to do, then the chances of success are very low.
Well, that's my next question.
But if we can keep that momentum going.
How much... Well, you're going to have to do this. Alipac's going to have to play a big role in keeping people motivated to pressure these people to do what we want them to do. Otherwise, they are going to slide away and float away. They're not going to stay focused. They have to be made to act in our best interests. That's how I
see it. Well, and let me mention that, okay? Because right now, we're trying to match $1,000. A very generous donor has put up $1,000 for like a match, okay?
Oh,
and
nice.
We've sent out two emails, and I think we've raised like 500 of it. It may take 3 or 4 emails for us to raise $1,000. This organization used to raise $5,000-$6,000 off one email request, okay? Now, people contribute when it gets down to the wire, and Alipac is laying on the floor clutching his chest, turning blue, and I have to tell people, oh, hey, guys, we're like 48 hours away from turning the lights out for good. And everybody, oh, here you go. Here's the donations to keep you going at the last minute, at the very last minute, you know. But here's another situation, and maybe our people don't motivate off good news. Maybe they don't motivate off things when they're going well and it's not the dire last minute. Here we
That's
have
human
won.
Nature. People are stressed out to the max. Oh, yeah, right now.
Yeah.
Hey, you can't
go
into a supermarket and come out without being shocked at the prices.
Well, how stressed out would they be if Kamala Harris and the Democrats had swept and the entire country was over for good and no future elections were ever going to matter for them?
Taps, rest in peace, of course.
I'd be on this phone saying goodbye.
Hold on. Now, is Trump still, haven't they decided this yet? Is Trump still potentially not going to get the popular vote? Is that still on the table? I think it's the last I saw,
it's very close. They think he's got it, but there's still some counting going on somewhere.
Shame on Americans for being that stupid. The sad thing is, over half Americans who are still in the workforce are earning less than $43,000 a year. That's one reason why donations are so difficult. My sponsors are having trouble. Every sponsor is having trouble. Retailers are having trouble. This is a real crisis, and nobody seems to be addressing it.
Let me tell you something. The consumer confidence of our kind of Americans and patriots ought to be rising rapidly right now. You know,
they say
when you're looking at the economy, do consumers have confidence? Are they buying? How do they feel about the future? Well, if they don't feel good about the future, if their economy stinks, they're not going to buy.
But
they're not going to pay for things.
Here's the other side of that coin. Many people, as you know, and all of you listening probably know, are deeply in debt now. 60% of Americans use credit cards to make it every month. What happens when those cards max out? It's difficult to measure things long-term or even reasonably short-term on the basis of consumer confidence. When you go into a market to buy food for your family, you can't leave that market with any confidence.
Well, and these companies are trying to rip us off. Yeah,
they are.
Companies left and right are trying to rip us off.
Yes.
It's awful. But
and
did you hear
Donald
Trump say the other day that he's going to try to get interest rates on credit cards down to 10% to give everybody a fighting chance?
He can't unilaterally do that, but
did you hear him say it? He came out.
Yeah.
You're very concerned that you just expressed here, oh, my gosh, how can everybody pay for their credit cards? We're losing the battle. We can't pay.
No, it's positive. Not the, it's not the rate. They're already in debt. They've run the cards up.
I know that, but here's the future president of the United States saying he's going to cut rates. Get rates down to 10%.
I wish he could. I don't know that he is allowed to do that in his purview as president to go into private banking
Donald
organizations
Trump.
And tell them what they're going to do.
Donald Trump
I don't know.
Has several mandates, okay? He has a mandate to drill, baby, drill, baby, drill, and get our energy costs down and hope that it slows. It may not reverse. It may not make a lot of things cheaper, but it takes this terrible inflationary economy that we've been in and possibly drill, baby, drill. And he's going to do that. I mean, that's what. Hopefully he's going to do that. He has promised to mass deport millions of illegal
invader.
Aliens.
He's got to throw the invaders out. Yeah.
Starting with the rapists and the murderers and the convicts and the people from the prisons. And you know what? I'll take that and I'll fight for that. And everybody out there should be ready to fight for that. Don't just sit there and say, oh, somebody else is going to do it because somebody's going to tie them up. And we're going to be sitting there reading the news like, Donald Trump today asked Congress to give him enough money to be able to deport the illegals on air-conditioned buses. But, oh, Mitchie McConnell and Sly Boy.
McConnell got his boy in there. McConnell ran the show. I think everybody will admit that if they honestly study it. Mitch McConnell got his last laugh. This is it. That's my take, not yours.
With what?
I'm just talking. Soon. Rhinos. Congress.
Senate. Thune did not support amnesty. Mitch McConnell is on the amnesty supporter list. Senator Thune is on the AliPAC endorse list. I don't know how things could be more opposite on the greatest litmus test of rhinos and people. Now, maybe you're right, and he's going to betray us, and he's not going to stick to it, and he's going to change, and he's going to be like McConnell, and he's going to be up Israel's butt and do all this terrible, terrible stuff that all equates into people not fighting, Jeff, but, I mean, we don't have the evidence for that.
Have to stand up like they always do and keep pressuring these people. They can't allow them to get away with anything. And if they start supporting genocide, it doesn't work for me.
Look, if
they support Israel,
you know,
I can't go there.
To avoid my own genocide right now, okay? I'm trying to avoid the my own genocide here in America where the death rate is way up, the birth rate is way down, the divorce rate's way up, the marriage rate is way down, the fentanyl deaths are way up, the unhealthy stuff in the food is way up, the number of illegals running around raping and killing is all way up. I'm worried about my butt and my family and my people right here, my countrymen. Right here in the United States. And I'm sorry that there's other countries where abuses are going on, maybe in the Middle East, maybe over in the Russian Ukraine. You know what I'm saying? But I don't have the time and energy to even deal with that when I'm up to my neck in alligators. And all of a sudden, somebody threw us a rope, somebody threw us a raft, somebody threw us a life ring. And I'm not going to sit here and bash every single bit of it. Because we need people to not be demoralized right now. This is a time for people to be encouraged and for people to say, hey, we've actually got a shot at this. Because there was all these naysayers out there that said, I'm not going to donate to AliPAC or any cannons, and I'm not going to go out there and volunteer for any campaigns because it's all Zionist controlled and it's just we've lost already, and no matter what we do, we're already beating our heads. We've been psyoped out. I've already been psyopsed and economically neutered and anesthetized. And here we won. We won. Big. And look, 11 million Democrat voters vanished. And
The fix in 2020. That was the amount they pumped in there, around 10 million, to throw the thing into the can.
I think that those missing 11 million represent two things. First of all, for a lot of people in the black and Hispanic community, which obviously shifted a great deal towards Trump and the Republicans, voting, showing up and voting for Republican Donald Trump. I've said this on your program like four times already. Might be a stretch, but they voted with their feet. They didn't show up. They left Kamala at the altar. They weren't feeling the Kamala Harris. They weren't feeling Barack Obama lecturing them, and they represented that by showing that by not showing up. Thank you.
Right.
I'll take it. The other missing votes, I believe, were skullduggery votes that were possible in 2020 that were not possible in 2024 for the following reasons. One, GOP game plan with Laura Trump and the RNC and an army of observers.
Too many observers. That's right.
All over it.
That's right.
Elon Musk freeing up Twitter. Somebody records a cell phone image of a bunch of foreigners who don't speak English wearing Walsh Harris stickers being brought up by some NGO handler to the front of the line in front of Americans who've been waiting to vote for hours.
Right.
And it gets captured on video, and it goes around the planet and the country on Twitter like lightning. And then that combined with our podcasters like James O'Keefe and others who are infiltrating and secretly recording inside up these apparatus. And
right.
Then finally, and this is the real tricky one, since the Democrats lost 1 out of 3 people of color who voted for Trump and mm-hmm. another big chunk who wouldn't show up with Kamala, well, that makes pulling off any type of sizable skullduggery in the Democrat urban blue zones
a lot more difficult. It was a failed fix. I think originally they had the idea they could pull it off again, but with so many observers, so much attention, they were
and
being
so many
viewed
blacks
under a
and
microscope.
Hispanics on our side.
They couldn't. That's correct.
How can you operate and field a bunch of non-citizen voters?
I think that's where the 10 million, though. The 10 million, you call it skullduggery, fine. I call it fiction. But whatever. I agree.
I don't think they were able to operate with impunity inside the black and Hispanic community in this environment.
Couldn't do it.
And if that's true, and Donald Trump saying, oh, we're going to track you down and we're going to find you and we're going to prosecute you, and Ali Pack putting the focus on these non-citizen voter issues and running up. And so here's the thing. Now, I will say something on the program that I didn't put in today's email. Our grassroots network is not operating like it used to. Because apparently 8 states voted on non-citizen voters. We only knew about 2 of them.
Huh.
We even put it out there and said, hey, everybody, North Carolina and Arizona have got ballot initiatives on immigration stuff that we support, mm-hmm. and we want you to know about it. If your state has something on the ballot about immigration, let us know. Well,
right.
6 states
right.
didn't let us know. But the good news is
eight states
voted by super majorities to require citizens only to vote. 8 state ballot initiatives passed with 60, 70, 80% public voter support to lock those states down from non-citizen voters.
As it should be. Very good. Very good. All right, stand by. Let's take a break. And I feel sorry for I'm not involved, but Carrie Lake has been ripped off 2 times in a row now in Arizona. I think it's pretty obvious. And I think she would have been a sincere member of Congress. Well, at any rate. All right, back in a minute with William. Hold on. Okay, let's get back to our first hour tonight. Let me remind you that AliPack.us is without any question the most important political action committee of our time, and it deserves your support. William's been at it 20 years, and with your help, those of you who support AliPack, many, many victories are in the record books. We need more. These people, in my view, need to be watched carefully. Here's a little quickie on Representative Mike Waltz, tapped as Trump's national security advisor, his wife. These people are all pedigreed. All right, get this one now. Let me find it here. Postgraduate. Where did it go? I'll find it. Anyway, she's here it is. She served with the World Economic Forum. There's a division there called Global Advisory Council. So she served with the World Economic Forum's Global Advisory Council on how, on rather low-carbon energy transformation, as well as an International Affairs Fellow with the Council on Foreign Relations. So her name is Neseiwat. Neseiwat. She's Council on Foreign Relations, for sure, and for sure, World Economic Forum. So Waltz, there's more on Waltz, anyhow. This is This needs to be looked at. It's critically important to set your expectations and to figure out what you need to do as a citizen to hold these people accountable to the Constitution and to what they were actually, allegedly, voted in to
do.
Are
we talking about Florida Representative Mike Waltz?
Yeah.
His wife.
Mrs. Waltz. World Economic Forum's Global Advisory Council, Council on Foreign Relations, and she was an International Affairs Fellow with the Council on Foreign Relations. These are ranking, powerful positions. So anyway, it's just part of the Waltz household. So we've got to study these people. We have to know what our representatives are allegedly steeped in, okay? If you can't find that out, then you don't have much chance. You got to push buttons when you complain and try to make these people act properly. National Security Advisor doesn't get much more powerful than that. That's Mike Waltz.
Well,
go ahead, please. Oh, and let's make this $1,000. Hold on. Let's make this $1,000 work. I want people to make this happen. It's very important. There's no other group out there other than Alipac that is worth your time and, for goodness sakes, your support. So please, let's match this $1,000 and make it happen.
Please, I've got only half of it so far. We need you at alipac.us/donations/ to help us match the remaining $500. But
great.
The listeners of this program and the Alipac email list recipients at alipac.us knew that we were focused on non-citizen voters, knew that we were circulating word about a ballot, you know, asking about ballot, but you didn't tell us. But we've been pumping this stuff out there, and the stuff that we pump out there over the years and the months,
I wonder what's
saturated.
I wonder why that
but
is.
But let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened, okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Super majorities vote to stop non-citizen voters in 8 states, and there are more crackdowns on the way. This is what just happened, and more states are queuing up. 76% of the voters in Iowa said non-citizens should not be able to vote. And that's like a state constitutional change law now. 65% of the voters in Idaho, 62% in Kentucky, which I think is sort of low. I'd sort of like to see the wording on that. You know, the wording on these ballot initiatives really makes sense.
65% of the people, let's recap this, 65% of the people in Idaho did what?
76% in Iowa said no non-citizens are going to be able to vote. 65% in Idaho.
These are the states. All right,
these are ballot initiatives. They voted in the 2024 elections for ballot initiatives, which like in the
state
of North Carolina.
Explain what ballot initiatives are. This is very important because this is grassroots American politics at its best when people bring these measures before the entire state for a vote. This is a people-generated issue.
Ballot initiatives, they get on the ballot. It's something different than candidates. It's issue-based, and they can get put on the ballot usually two major
ways.
That's
great. Yeah.
One way is by citizen petitions and citizen petition drives in some states. In other places, it's state legislatures. I think here in North Carolina, our state legislatures sent it to the people because in North Carolina, the only American citizens get to vote isn't a new law. Because sometimes a ballot initiative will be a new law that goes into place based on the people's vote instead of a legislature's vote. But here in North Carolina, 77.6% of North Carolina voters in the 2024 elections voted to change the North Carolina state constitution to make it clear that only U.S. citizens are allowed to vote in our elections. So that's 76% of the voters in Iowa, 65 in Idaho, 62 in Kentucky, 68 in Missouri, 77.6 in North Carolina, 81% in Oklahoma, and 86% in South Carolina, and 70% in Wisconsin. That's 8 states where there is an incredible supermajority vote mandate on this. And that's not all, because now other states are starting to queue up. And they're coming because this is a trend now. This is a thing across the country. We went from where these fact checkers and fake news sources are continuing to say that non-citizen voting is so rare, blah, 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 to 8 states queuing up. And it says here that Americans, a group out there, they're called Americans for Citizen Voting, ACV. Hadn't been familiar with them before. We've tried to reach out to them. We'd like to communicate with them better so that we know this stuff that they know and they know what we know. They said that before the 2024 elections, 12 states had citizen-only voting laws already on the books. And those already on the books were in Pennsylvania, Virginia, Wyoming, Utah, Arizona, Minnesota, North Dakota, Alabama, Colorado, Florida, Ohio, and Louisiana. But at the same time, they may have those laws on the books. They're not doing any citizen verification, which is where the SAVE Act comes in. But we'll take any part of this that we can. Another interesting thing, besides the fact that we have other states that are going to be lining up, there's going to be more of these on the ballot in 2022. And get this, predominantly Democrat Santa Ana, California voters were polled, and on Measure DD, which would have allowed the city of Santa Ana, California to adopt an ordinance that would allow non-citizens to vote in local elections. And the left-leaning Democrats of Santa Ana defeated Measure DD by 62.5% of the vote. Let's just call it 2-1. We obliterated the opposition at the polls on Election Day 2022, mandates all over the place. Non-citizen voters is now the brass ring. It's right there in the middle of everything, and people know about it. And we may have just won so big, and those big red splotches that you see all over California that still went Democrat, but has all those big red county splotches. I've often fantasized about what it might look like if you took the illegal aliens and non-citizen voters out of California, and we may have knocked some of the wind out of that sail. We may have just gotten our very first glimpse at what is possible, even in states like California and New York, if you take the non-citizens out of the mix. I would say that at this moment, they're going to do everything they can to stop us from achieving the goal, but the entire globalist power structure responsible for the invasion, poisoning of America, and overthrow of our republic is not happy and in danger. And we've got some good people. I don't know Tulsi Gabbard personally, but I like her and I like what she's saying. And I like what she says about pulling us back from nuclear war. And I like what she says about leaving the Democrats because of their anti-white racism. Major personality like her going anti-white racism. Donald Trump is coming out saying that he's going to get reparations for white people who have been abused by college admissions and stuff. The election's over, and he's still hitting it right on where the iron is hot. And so this is an exciting, historic time to be alive and opportunity here. And if they're going to stop us and they're going to disappoint us, we're going to make them disappointed. Even your guy that you don't like there, Pete Hegseth, yeah. Let me tell you a couple things he has said that people might like. Hegseth says that he enthusiastically embraced Trump's claims that the 2020 election was fraudulently taken.
Everybody agrees on that. I
don't know. That is
every
not,
fair-minded
not.
Person. How's that? I'll qualify it.
He defaced his own Harvard diploma and sent it back as a form of protest against critical race theory.
I just can't take the pro-Israeli issue to the exclusion of what's best for America. Sorry, it doesn't work for me.
He wrote that liberal, in his most recent book, he wrote that liberals were America's, quote, domestic enemies, end quote, and one of the, quote, two fronts, end quote. The U.S. military had to fight along with
Israel.
Radical Islam.
Radical Islam is another one of those buzzwords. There's a lot of them out there, of course. Look, the issue here is who controls this country ultimately. It's not the American people. When you look at the international globalist state of affairs, it's Zionism. It's the bankers. It's true. Now, let me go back to the proposition. Do you call them propositions in these six states you mentioned?
Some people do, but the ballot initiative, I think, is the generally accepted term.
Do you remember? This is important. Now, I don't know if in each state those ballot measures can be challenged in court. I would think so. You can challenge anybody about anything in court. In 1994, California came to a crossroads in its existence. The people put Proposition 187 on the, I worked on this, 187 on the ballot.
Yep.
In the November vote, California's voters passed Prop 187. It was a ballot initiative proposed by anti-immigration, anti-illegal immigration organizations, which restricted undocumented immigrants from the state's public services, including access to public education, schooling, and all health care. That's primarily what it was known for. What happened to 187?
Barbara Coe was involved with that. Barbara Coe of CCIR,
COE.
California,
yeah, I think, yeah.
California and Citizens for Immigration Reform.
Yeah. Here, here's
CAPS.
Yeah,
Hold on, before we tell people what happened in 187,
yeah.
CAPS, Californians for Population Stabilization, I think we're involved with that. And I'm trying to think. There, most of these people are gone now. Barbara Coe has passed on. Terry Anderson, talk radio show yeah. host Terry Anderson
I
was back in that.
I know who he is, yeah.
But one judge.
I think I had him on the program, in fact. Pretty sure.
What is South Central? He used to play a thing for his show, his boxing match stuff. It'll come to me in a minute. But Terry Anderson was the first talk radio show interview I ever got to do on the topic of illegal immigration 20 years ago.
Right, he was a great one. Now, this vote occurred, May, June, July, August, June, 6 months after this program went on the air. In November 1994, what happened was the liberal left communists, they were here then, took it to court. And the liberal left communist court, the high court in California, forced it into mediation. And that mediation ended up completely spaying and neutering and destroying Prop 187. The majority of the people were denied their legal rights through the ballot. So it's nothing new. These things go on. And I hope these states don't see the same kind of thing.
Well,
it'll depend on the state Supreme Court. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the judge in that case knocked down the part about denying the illegals access to public schools, and the rest of it fell apart from there. I mean, but, you know, in truth, even though I was an avid news reader and running a lot of campaigns and stuff over here in North Carolina in the 1990s, we didn't know anything about what was happening to the people of California because the legacy media, the old school Associated Press and Reuters Wire, they blocked that kind of stuff. There might have been like a little paragraph on page 3 of your newspaper that occasionally mentioned something about what was happening in California with Prop 187. But the people in California on the ground were fighting to save their state.
Yeah, that turned California blue, that whole thing, that disaster of Prop 187.
And that was when the internet was still young.
Yeah,
and we didn't have that internet talk radio fusion that ended up occurring by the early 2000s that made us able to resist. Now, if the internet talk radio fusion that used to exist in the early 2000s up until just a couple years ago had been in place when California was fighting for Prop 187, it could have been a different outcome because, you know, everybody...
No, it might
was,
right.
Well, we would have been able to know about it.
Here, it's the same old people. Listen to this. The seal, this is a quote, "The seal of the great state of California is now stamped on the death certificate of Proposition 187, said Mark Rosenbaum, the legal director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Southern California." So there you go. It's the same thing. This has been in place for a long time, this operation, to overthrow and destroy this country. These people have been at it. They're pros. They know how to do it. We got to stop it. That's the point. No more communism. And when the camel said, as far as groceries and the grocery stores go, we're going to invoke price controls on food, that's communism. That's not how you do it. No, you go to these manufacturers, either your state reps do or whoever, and you tell them, let's see a justification for the doubling of your price for bread and butter pickles, which are now $8 a jar, and they used to be $3.95. Where's the justification? Do the cucumbers cost more? Does the vinegar cost more? No, it's crap. And a lot of these people are gouging the hell out of the American public with these prices. They don't have to raise their prices double or even what they're doing in many cases. Some do. but many of them don't. You are being ripped off at the supermarket by food manufacturers all over the place. Not everyone. Don't go there. But many of them are taking full advantage. Go ahead, William.
Well, didn't you see how Rasmussen reports, polling, called it? You know, we were here on the Jeff Renz program telling people, hey, these polls.
Okay.
Well, I mean, the pollsters, the media, and the fake polls were telling everybody that Kamala Harris had swung into comparison with, had pulled even with Donald Trump and was in the lead. And Rasmussen polling was like, no, she's never been in the lead on the race. And that this, the stuff that these polls were saying, even they started, as we got closer to election, they started tightening up. And I think it was Atlas polling, and Rasmussen called it. And Rasmussen was saying just a few days before the election that while it was close, their polling was showing Trump leaning ahead in all seven swing states. And that's exactly what ended up happening. Trump took every swing state. Every one of them.
Yeah, every one. It's hard to know, but there's 3 million votes separating them. I don't see Harris taking the popular vote. 72.8 million to 75.8 million. That's 3 million votes. Anyway, it's
well,
too close.
Well, the thing is, Twitter.
73 million Americans voted for communism. For one reason or dozens of others, who knows? But that's a fact.
Well, the main appointment I'm not happy about is Marco Rubio being our Secretary of State. However,
I was waiting for you if you wanted to say something. I didn't want to get into it.
Well,
that.
A member of the Gang of Eight amnesty plan.
Oh,
but
you got it. You got it.
Thankfully, he's on foreign affairs. He's not on anything domestic. Now, Marco Rubio, Senator John Cornyn, they support citizenship, amnesty, and voting rights for tens of millions of illegal aliens, which is 180 degrees opposite of the mass deportations that Trump has promised voters to win this.
Yep, he needs to be held to that. I hope he does it. We're going to have to do our best to make sure that we're going to raise hell if it doesn't happen.
All hell is going to break loose. I mean, not ending DACA. He scuttled his reelection chances by breaking his promise to end DACA on his first term and playing footsie with the Democrats about amnesty.
That hurt.
But this time, it's very clear. So blacks and legal blacks and Hispanics want the illegals out of here too.
I was going to mention that that a lot in Santa Ana, there are a lot of multi-generational Latinos living there. Lots of them. I think they're the great majority, and they're tired of this. They don't want these people coming across the border. They're ruining their neighborhoods, taking their jobs. Now, so a lot of Latino voters in California
eating their cats. Eating the pets of the people that live there.
I'm from that area, so I know, not Santa Ana, but nearby, and I know what's there. So that's true.
Tell you, hey, Jeff,
these are American citizens. Go ahead.
Well, you know, people in California, they really love Christmas, like, so much. They named everything after Santa.
And the joke is?
They named everything after Santa.
I know. Santa Ana. I get that. Is there any more to it?
No, that's just it. That's it, you know?
Well, it used to be Saint.
I must have misread the room.
No. Here's what Allie Pack and you, I know, are going to do. You're going to watch these promises, and you're going to keep raising hell about it. We'll do it here. And we're going to make damn sure that they are followed to the letter. Or people are going to be held accountable for lying. That's my
hope. We're going to continue to go after the non-citizen voters to get them out of our elections.
Out of our lives, out of our country. Yeah.
If Donald Trump and J.D. Vance are going to follow through on their promise to mass deport illegals, they need one big, massive, nationwide cheerleader squad, grassroots, enthusiastic support base. Right. That is there, rah-rahing them all the way across the finish line. and doing what we can.
You know, moving 20 or 30 million people is a big deal.
But we don't have to move them all. And Homan,
he might be the one to pull the trigger on this. Let's hope.
Oh, he's already saying the right things. We didn't even have a chance to put it out. He's saying, yeah, we know who you are. We're coming to get you, especially if you're a criminal, illegal alien. The best thing you can do right now is self-deport. The best thing you can do right now is self-deport. Get your stuff and get the hell out of here because we're coming for you. And I'm like, yes. And then another thing I'm just really hopeful about, Jeff, is that these different leaders that are involved with things right now, I really think that if we can have a successful administration, if we can stick to the mandates, drill, baby, drill, deport, baby, deport, drill, baby, drill, deport, deport, stop censorship, cancel the woke, stop the anti-white racism and the discrimination against people, return more to a meritocracy, cut that spending, streamline government, prosecute some of these bad ones, get them out of here. If we can do that, and these leaders that Trump, because I'm hoping that Trump's like, hey, you know, I'm 78, about to be 79, whenever.
What have I got
it's
to
my
lose?
Second
let's
term.
Do it right.
Right. Let's bring in all this new talent. Let's bring in these new conservatives. Let's bring in these young guys like Matt Gaetz. And the liberals are flipping out over Matt Gaetz. Let's put them in positions. And you know what? I'm never running for re-election again. I've just won my last campaign. And y'all can all have, you know, your shot at it when I'm gone.
Good work, William. Really, you make a difference. You have for 20 years, and that's incredible. Good job.
Hey, look.
Talk to you next week.
Let's get positive. Thanksgiving's coming around the corner. Let's get festive. Fala la la la, my friend.
Pork shoulder. All right.
Yes, sir.
Good night. All right. Alipack.us. And if you can pop in $20 to help them make that matching deal, thank you. That would be nice. They really do a good job. But good is too conservative a word. It's a great job. We'll be right back.